Thank you, Aaron. There was a stool up here yesterday. Does anybody know where the stool went to? I'm going to need that part of the way today, I'm sure. Hold the ropes. As Pastor said, William Carey, who was a shoemaker, actually, but had a great burden for the work of the Lord and especially for reaching the lost around the world. It was actually in a meeting when the first Baptist Mission Sending Society was organized. One of the leaders of that organization, John Ryland, said to Carey, "You'll be going, we'll be sending a missionary to India, and India is a great gold mine of souls, and I believe that mine is very deep." And he said, "Who will go?" And Carey said, "I will go down, but remember, you must hold the ropes." In 25 years in Kenya, I am so thankful that Bakwanago Baptist Church has held the ropes for us in many ways. Turn in your Bibles, if you will. It's a great Kenya morning this morning, Stephen. You presenting your work and two of you singing and family singing, and then I get to preach this morning. What a blessing. It's always a tremendous opportunity to preach here at Bakwanago Baptist Church. I count it a great privilege. Ezekiel chapter 22. I'm going to begin reading in verse 23 of Ezekiel chapter 22. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they shewed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. And the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Father, I pray that you'd bless this message. Bless, give me the words to speak, to be a challenge to every Christian here. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've had a cold all week. Taught class at Menominee Falls, teaching an advanced mission class there at Baptist College of Ministry. I've had a cold all week, so I'm feeling a little bit weak. So not only is my back bad, my leg bad, but I'm feeling sick. But that's okay. We'll get through this. You know, I like to tell people, look, I'm old, crippled, and ugly. And God can use me. I mean, if he can use me, he can use any one of you. Trust me. Stand in the gap. Now, here we read this description of the people of Israel.
The nation of Israel was in the midst of a backsliding. They were wicked. Remember, they're supposed to be God's people. They are supposed to be the people that are taking the message of God to the world. They are the people who are supposed to be representing God to the world. And yet, they were in such a mess. The nation was in such a mess. There was nobody there to represent God, even to the nation themselves, much less going out to the rest of the world. And there in verse 30, God says, verse 23, we see that this is a message directly from God through the prophet Ezekiel to his people. And in verse 30, he says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, or on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, and I found none. If God should have destroyed the land of Israel for what they were doing, the idolatry, the wickedness, the immorality, the ignoring of God, the living lives for self, living lives for the things of the world, and having no concern for God and the things of God. If God was going to destroy Israel for that, what should God do to this world today? What should he do to this world today? We live in an evil, evil world. Anybody catch the news this morning about the attack in Kenya? Babies as young as 2 years old, killed, shot. There was a children's cooking contest at a mall in Nairobi. And 10 Islamic terrorists came in with AK-47s, told all the Muslims to leave, and then just started shooting people. They still, from what I was able to get earlier this morning, it's still a standoff. They still have hostages. I suspect that's not going to end well. I really suspect that most of those hostages, if not all, will die. A sad situation. And that's the world we live in. You know, this is not an isolated situation. It's not a rare thing, sadly, in our world today. And God says, I sought for a man to make up the hedge and stand in the gap. God says, I sought for a man who would stand between me and Israel, who would represent me to Israel so that I don't destroy them. My friends, I cannot believe, personally, that the coming of the Lord is not going to be very soon. It's got to be very soon. How can this world get any worse? There is an urgency to reach this world for Christ. God is still seeking for men. God is still seeking people who will make up the hedge, who will stand in the gap. Notice this verse 30 says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. God doesn't say, I need a man. God says, I'm seeking a man. He's seeking for someone who will volunteer. God's army is an entire volunteer army today. You know, America made a big deal out of that when we switched from the draft to a volunteer army, and it was a big issue that we had an all-volunteer army. Well, God's always had an all-volunteer army. But we need more volunteers. God needs more people who are willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me. He's seeking a man to stand in the gap, or a woman, or a couple, or a family to stand in the gap. God doesn't need the man, but he sought the man. God came looking for you. God's looking for you today. He came looking for me 35 years ago. He came looking for Rick Simonson. Today, he may be looking for some of you. God has always sought men and a relationship with men. He sought Adam in the garden. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost. Okay, he sought me and brought me to salvation. But then he sought me to make up the hedge and stand in the gap for Kenya. And today he is seeking other men who will make up the hedge and stand in the gap before him. As I said, God doesn't need man, but he seeks man. God has lots of things that he could use. He does not have to use human missionaries to spread the gospel message. He has sought to do that. He has chosen to do that. In Genesis 19, God used angels to take the message to Sodom. God used a burning bush to call Moses. God used a donkey to admonish a wayward prophet. God used ravens to feed a godly prophet. God used a heathen king to provide the needs of Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah there in the land of Nebuchadnezzar. God could have, Luke 19:40, Jesus said, if the voices stay still, the rocks will cry out. God could have used the rocks to proclaim his message. He didn't have to, because people proclaim the message. So God could use many, many, many different ways to reach the world for Christ, but he has chosen. He has sought men like me, like Stephen, like Mike, like Nathan and others. He has sought men to stand between God and the world, to represent God and his message to the world. God could use whatever he wants, but he chooses to use people like us. Mark 16:15, the Great Commission says, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm teaching the class this week in advanced missions. One of the subjects I was suggested that I could deal with is called a biblical theology of missions. You've read some books on biblical theology of missions. As far as I'm concerned, that whole theology is just to fill books and sell books. All you need is the Great Commission. We don't need anything more than that. You know, if there was no other verse in the Bible that talked about reaching the lost for Christ, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature ought to be enough. How many times does God have to say something to make it real and to make us obey it? I'm thankful for a church that is making that effort to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But I believe we can do more. I believe this church can do more. 25 years ago, I think it was 25 years ago, I think it was pretty close to the time Sue and I were getting ready to go to Kenya. It may have been the time on our first furlough. I don't really remember. But I remember saying to Mequonago Baptist Church, most of you weren't here then, but we had a small group then. And I remember telling the people of Mequonago Baptist Church that every one of us, every man, every woman, every child, should surrender our lives to be missionaries. If God wants us. If God wants us. And then let God make the choice. And people said, well, that doesn't make any sense, Dr. Rick. If all of us went to the mission field, what would be the problem, Joe? Nobody left to hold the ropes. Don't you think God would do something wonderful if we all responded to go? don't you think God might have another way to hold the ropes if we were all to go? Now, I'm not saying that I believe we're all called to missions, but I think if an entire church like this one, led by God, went out to the mission field to serve the Lord, God would do an absolute miracle. Listen, think about this. When I said that 25 years ago, Pastor, did you think it was possible that we could be sending the Canise family, the Raines family, another Raines family, several Roberts families, Krekelbergs? Did you think back then, 25 years ago, that this church could be a church that would be sending out so many missionaries? We have more missionaries now on the field than probably were in this church when we left for Kenya. So what did God do? He raised up a bunch of rope holders. He raised up people to hold the rope for the Caneses and for the Simonsons and for the Raineses. And he will continue to raise up people to hold up the ropes for you if God should call you to go. I'm not saying I believe God has called all of us to go. But I am saying I believe all of us should be willing to go, if that's what God wants us to do. God is still seeking men to be his representatives to this world. Mark 16:15, I quoted it, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." Who is responsible to reach the lost world for Christ? We are. Mequonago Baptist Church, do you think the people of the Catholic Church in Mequonago are going to be out reaching the world for Christ, spreading the gospel? No, they're not. They're not. Very few churches are. It's our responsibility. We need to do it. If you are here and you are saved, born again, you've had your sins forgiven, you are responsible to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge, to stand in the gap, to do what you can do to represent God to the wicked world that we live in today. God is still seeking people. Still seeking people to stand in the gap. I don't think they're necessarily talking about a physical gap here. I don't think God is, although the illustration would be a physical gap. The hedge in the vineyard was there to keep out foxes and stuff. It would be a very thick thorn hedge to keep out other animals from coming into the vineyard and eating the vines and destroying the crop. And if the hedge was broken down, if there was a gap in the hedge, then the vineyard would not be protected. So there's a physical picture here. But I think God is really relaying a spiritual picture. There is a great gap between God and the lost. The world is on its way to a Christless hell. The Bible says that as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. God is perfectly righteous. He is the righteous God. Man is totally unrighteous. There's a big gap. John 8:23 says, Jesus said, "Ye are from beneath, people of the world. I am from above." There's a great gap. And God is looking for men and women who will stand in the gap, who will be able to take God's message and give it to the world. God's looking for men and women who will take his message to Mequonago and to East Troy and to Burlington and to Wind Lake, where I grew up, and Waukesha and all around our area. He's looking for someone willing to do that. He's looking for men, families, who are willing to go out and plant more churches in Wisconsin, in Illinois, in Indiana, or wherever God might lead. He's looking for men who will stand in the gap in those places. And he's looking for men, for families, who will stand in the gap all around the world. The question you need to ask yourself is, does God want me to stand in the gap? In fact, no, that's not a question you should ask. The question you should ask is, where does God want me to stand in the gap? What does God want me to do to stand in the gap? So, what can you do to stand in the gap? What can you do to hold the ropes? First, you can pray. You can pray. Therefore, he say, Psalm 106 and 23 says, therefore he saith that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Moses stood in the gap when God was upset with the people wandering in the wilderness. And God was going to destroy them, and Moses stood in the gap. And he prayed to God, God, don't destroy this people. You can pray. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. This is the Apostle Paul saying, finally, brethren, pray for us. The Apostle Paul, the second great missionary in the Christian era. Who was the first great missionary in the Christian era? The Lord Jesus Christ. Came from heaven to earth with a message. Paul, we look at as that great missionary, and he certainly was. And Paul says to the Thessalonians when he writes to them, pray for us. Pray for us. James 4:2, talking about prayer, says, you have not because you ask not. I personally believe one of the biggest failings in Bible-believing Christianity today is prayerlessness. People just don't pray the way they ought to pray. Oh, we do pray, and there are some. Our church is a praying church. I'm thankful for that. But very few are. It's a sad situation, Pastor, when we have a missionary, when we do have a meeting on a Wednesday night, the churches don't pray on Wednesday night. You know, I've got a missionary where a missionary is presenting the work here. So, you know, they might, you know, pray for a minute or two, but they don't have a real serious season of prayer. I almost feel guilty when a pastor wants to have me come on a Wednesday night. Now, maybe they don't pray anyway on other Wednesday nights, but it surprises me how little praying gets done in most of those churches. The failure to pray is one of the greatest failures in our Christianity today. And you can pray for your missionaries. Pray specifically for your missionaries. How many of you got the update from Tina on this attack in Nairobi? They were in that mall on Wednesday, just a couple days before. A lot of missionaries, a lot of people go to that mall. It's a pretty fancy mall. We've been there a few times. When the boys were little, it opened on our last furlough. So when the boys were little and we went back to Kenya and we took them there the first time, after that they would say, can we go back to America? Talking about Westgate Mall. But a lot of people there, a lot of missionaries there. We haven't heard the report yet whether any of our friends were involved in that, whether anybody that we know was there. As far as I know, the Halsteads, the Rainses, and others that we work closely with are all safe, that nobody was there. But we need to be praying for them. You know, this attack should not be a surprise. You know, we are in a battle. We are in a very serious spiritual battle with the powers of darkness. You don't see it as much here in America as we see it on the foreign field. Those of you who've been to Burma, Myanmar. You've seen it there, haven't you? The spiritual darkness, much more prevalent, much more open than it is here. We are in a spiritual battle. You need to be praying. Praying seriously for your missionaries. Praying seriously for their health needs and for their protection. You can do that. There's not one of you that can't do that. And that's one of the key things you can do to hold the ropes. You need to pray. Another thing you can do to hold the ropes is to give. Give financially. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The first day of the week, what day was that? That was the day of the church met. So very clearly here, Paul is telling the Corinthian church that when the church gathers together, when the church meets, you need to take an offering for your missionaries. And he says, let every one of you, let me say that again, let every one of you, no exceptions. God doesn't let anybody off the hook. Every Christian needs to be giving to support the missionaries of this church. You need to teach your children when they're young to give to missionaries, to be supportive of missionaries financially. Every one of you, no exceptions. Now, I will say this, that in most countries of the world, in Kenya definitely, we cannot earn money. If we have a shortfall, I cannot legally get a job. Michael Raines cannot legally get a job. We are in the country as missionaries. The missionary entry permit that we go into Kenya on says very specifically, we cannot earn money in Kenya. All of our income must come from abroad. So we are totally, totally dependent upon you. Not like some of the early missionaries, William Carey, we've talked about holding the ropes. William Carey, Marshman, and Ward, three men who worked together there in India at one time or another, all of them worked in the indigo business, managing indigo plantations. So they were able to work and provide funds for themselves while they did the work of the ministry. That kind of a tent-making ministry, as like the Apostle Paul had, is just not available to us in Kenya, and it's not available to many missionaries around the world. But there's another reason, I believe, why it's important for all of you to get in the habit of giving to your missionaries. When you give, you have a stake in what we're doing. And you are more likely to pray for us. You're more likely to be concerned for us. You're more likely to lay our needs before God. If you have made that kind of a commitment to your missionaries. Now, have we made a commitment? Yes, we have. We've committed our lives. We've also committed our finances to this church and to the mission field. We've made that commitment. On your behalf, because you're the ones that are supposed to be going into all the world preaching the gospel to every creature. So by sending us, you're doing your job. That's what you're doing. So we have also made that commitment. Stephen's family and Nathan's family and the Frews are now on what we call deputation. Well, analyze that word. What they become is deputies for the church that supports them. So Stephen, in a sense, will become a deputy of Mukwonago Baptist Church. It's kind of like the sheriff and the deputy. The deputy does what the sheriff tells him to do, sends out in place of the sheriff sometimes. That's the idea. They go out representing you on the mission field. Every soul that gets saved on the mission field because of our missionaries, I believe will be credited to your account if you prayed for them, if you've financially supported them. We're a team. We really are a team. You can pray. You can give. Philippians 4:16, a verse I love, it says, "And even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity." Now, Paul was writing to the Philippian church. This was a small church, a church Paul had just planted. I doubt at that point in the life of the church they had a significant building, if they had a building at all. They were relatively poor, small church, and yet they were willing to give. They were able to give. They met the needs of their missionary. You can do the same thing, and you are doing the same thing, and you continue to do more of the same thing. You can pray. You can give. But ultimately, what you can do is you can go. You can go. Isaiah 6:8, I've quoted it already. I heard the voice of the Lord saying to me, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." Something I read recently, let me give you a description of the efforts being made to disseminate the gospel around the world. It says some attempts are still being made, but they are inconsiderable in comparison to what might be done if the whole body of Christians entered heartily into the spirit of the divine command on this subject, the subject of spreading out the Great Commission. Is that a pretty accurate description of the world today? You know, some things are being done, but it's inconsiderable, it's insignificant compared to what could be done. You all agree that's a pretty accurate description of missions today? That was written by William Carey in 1792, before he said he would go and hold the ropes, William Carey wrote a book called The Inquiry into the Obligations of Christian to Use Means for the Conversion of the Heathens, in which the religious state of the different nations of the world, the success of former undertakings, and the practicability of further undertakings are considered. That's the title of the book. They really titled books back in those days, you know. It's like, you know, that's almost the whole book there. But in that book, he said, "I did change the grammar just slightly so it sounded more like modern day English." In that book, which eventually moved this group of Baptist pastors to form that first Baptist Mission Society, he said, "Some attempts are still making, but they are inconsiderable in comparison to what might be done if the whole body of Christians entered heartily into the spirit of the divine command on this subject." Things haven't changed much in 200 years, have they? There's still some things being done. And they're still inconsiderable. They're insignificant compared to what might be done if all Christians got behind the commitment to fulfill the Great Commission. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You may be sitting there now and saying to yourself, "Yes, Dr. Rick, if God were to call me, I think I would be willing to go. But you need to understand, I have no talents. I can't preach. I have no musical talents like the ranges. There's nothing I could do. My friends, the only ability God is looking for that man to stand in the gap, is availability. You make yourself available to God, and He will show you what part you can play in standing in the gap. Hey, God used Moses. Apparently, by Moses' own testimony, he wasn't a very good speaker. God used Gideon. Where'd God find Gideon when he finally used him? He was hiding from the enemy. He was afraid. God used Abraham. Abraham was a liar. God used the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was killing Christians. He was persecuting Christians. God used the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were all uneducated fishermen. God used King David to establish his kingdom on earth here. He was a shepherd. God can use you. He has a job for you. I do fear, that there will be many people who get to heaven and discover that they settled for second best in their life upon the earth. Because there was a point along the way when God was leading and calling them into full-time Christian service, into missions, and they resisted the call. They refused to accept the call. They lived their life, a good life, in a good church like this one. They served God as best they could in the church. But when they get to heaven, they're going to find out they could have done so much more. There could have been such an exciting life that God had for them. But they didn't heed the call. You can go. And let me say this. Missions is not just for young people. I was nearly 31 years old when I first got saved. I was actually 42 years old when I set foot in Kenya for the first time. I used to love it when I was in Bible college and the preachers would come along and they'd say, "Now, young people!" And I'm sitting there thinking, they're talking about me, you know. I like that. But missions is for everybody. Missions is for everybody. You can pray for missions. You can give to missions. Everybody can pray. Everybody can give. But it is certainly possible that everybody can go. Just say to the Lord, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And God might say, No, George, I want you right there praying the way you pray for my people. Brother Buda, I don't want you to go to the mission field anymore. You've done your job. Now I want you to pray and to give and be a blessing to the missionaries the way you are. But you got to be willing to say, "Lord, here am I. If you want me, I'll go." But we do have a lot of young people here who God could use on the mission field. Young couples who God could use on the mission field. Young families who God could use on the mission field. You could go. You could give. You could pray. Or you could go. Now I want to talk to the young people especially, as I finish today. A little like what I did with the fourth grade boys in Sunday school today. God may not and probably will not, when you say, "Lord, here am I, send me," He will probably not tell you today, "Okay, I want you to go to Sri Lanka," or "I want you to go to India," or "I want you to go to Kenya." He probably will not do that. But He will show you the next step along the way. He may show you, I want you to spend more time in prayer. I want you to be more faithful to the prayer services of your local church. And then after you do that, he may take you another step, and then another step, and then another step. I got saved here at Maquonago Baptist Church, and I've been saved. The first week of April was the meetings with Leonard Saunders. I committed my life to the Lord that night, and I said in my heart, and I meant it with all my being, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do it for you. Now, I thought what I was thinking was that I might be a good, faithful member of Maquonago Baptist Church. That's all I was thinking. And it was about a number of months, 6 months, a year later, that I came to the point of realization that all the things that used to make me happy, all the things that I used to just thrill to, mainly playing golf, but there were some other things there too, just didn't hold the appeal anymore, like going out soul winning, like teaching a Sunday school class, like getting involved in aspects of the ministry. And God used that to call me the next step, go to Bible college. When I went to Bible college, I had no thoughts of being a missionary, none whatsoever. Went to Bible college. While I was in Bible college, God began to work in my heart and my life to show me he wanted me to go on that team of missionaries that were going out to Singapore just for a summer missions team. And I went out to Singapore not at all thinking about being a missionary. I knew God wanted me to go there. I had no clue why. In fact, the second year when I went with Jim Canese, Bob McLean, and I, all three went together, not one of us had any intention of ever being a missionary. That was not our goals. That was not our purpose for going. Pastor Jim went to be a blessing to the people there in youth ministries. Bob McLean went to start a deaf ministry at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and then he was going back. I, at that point, was thinking maybe I'd go into full-time evangelism, and I was hoping to get some good illustrations from the mission field, you know? That'd be good for preaching when I go into evangelism. Not one of us intending to be a missionary. You see, God hadn't taken us to that step yet. He took us one step at a time. He took us to Singapore so he could break our hearts for the needs, the tremendous needs of missions and spreading of the gospel outside of America. All three of us now have been missionaries for 20 years or more now. But God didn't show us that at the beginning. Then after coming back from Singapore, God didn't say, well, now you're going to go to Kenya. No, he didn't do that. Sue and I got married. We knew absolutely well that we had both committed our lives to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We got very actively involved in the work here at Maquonago Baptist Church, doing whatever pastor needed us to do to help out. And we continued to pray and seek, what does God want us to do? The door going to back to Singapore closed shut. I was absolutely sure that was no longer God's will for me to go back to Singapore. But we didn't discourage. We didn't despair. We simply continued serving the Lord and continued praying and continued seeking God's will. And eventually God opened the door to go to Kenya. He made it very clear through the Bible that that was his will. And 25 years ago, off we went to serve the Lord. That day, back in the basement of the Savings and Loan Building, first week of April, Sunday night, first Sunday night in April, I think it was, of 1978, when I dedicated my life to serve the Lord, when I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Any thought of Kenya was the farthest from my mind. Any thought of giving my life to Africa was the farthest from my mind. So God may not show you immediately what he wants you to do. But you dedicate your life to him. You surrender your life completely to him. You say, God, here am I, send me. You say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then trust him through his word to lead you step by step. Stephen, when did you know you were going to be a missionary to Kenya? I mean, I knew when you were about Levi's age. But when did you know? Yeah, 15, 16. I knew a lot longer than before him. At least I was trusting God to answer my prayer. We'd walk into church together. I'd hold his hand and say, "How you doing, little Red? My best friend, Red. When are you coming to Kenya to be a missionary with me?" Well, praise God. Praise God. But you may not know immediately what God wants you to do. But let him have his way in your life. Holding the ropes. You can hold the ropes by praying. You can hold the ropes by giving. Or you can say, "Here am I, Lord, send me," and you can go, and God will raise up more people to hold the ropes. He will do that. One of the things that I really resisted when God was working me over about going to Singapore, and I'd said, "Lord, I can't go." You know, at that time, I was working with the young people here at the church. And I said, "Lord, I'm involved in the ministry at Maquoneago Baptist Church. I can't leave, Pastor. I've got a job to do at Maquoneago Baptist Church." Came into church on a Wednesday night, prayer meeting. Sat down in my usual pew and started listening. Pastor said, "Now, tonight I'm going to start a new series on the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul." And he started preaching from Acts chapter 13. He preached a message on how God uses people who are already active in the work and moves them on to greater works. So Pastor actually preached a message that got me to the mission field for the first time. God used our pastor to overcome my resistance. "Here am I, Lord, send me." My friends, won't you let God be the one who leads your life, leads your family, leads your children, trusting that he will always take care of you. He will always have you in the right place at the right time. Let's pray. Father, we recognize there is a big gap in the world, and you're still looking for people who are willing to stand in the gap. And I pray, dear Father, that if your hand is on someone in this congregation today in a special way, that you would make it clear to them, either today or throughout this missions conference, that you desire them, may it be to be a missionary or some aspect of full-time service, or just simply to expand their service for you. I pray that you would speak to those hearts. Father, if there are families today, parents who have never totally surrendered their children to you, to allow you to lead them and guide them, I pray that even today they might surrender. They might give those children to the Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish his will. Father, if there are families here who you would desire to call to be missionaries somewhere around the world, I pray that this week, even today, those hearts might be touched and led and moved. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, no one looking around. Who here by an upraised hand would say, "Dr. Rick, I am willing to do whatever God wants me to do, and I'm willing to tell that to God"? Would you raise your hand, please? I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do, and I'm willing to tell God. Amen. God bless you. Many, many hands. Many hands. God bless you. Perhaps you're here and you'd say, "Dr. Rick, I am sure God is calling me to be a missionary. Would you please pray for me?" You raise your hand if you believe God's calling you to be a missionary. Anyone? Amen. Amen. Number of hands. Amen. Father, I pray for these who already have a definite direction in their life toward missions, that you would guide them each step of the way to that place of service where they can be most effective for you. And Lord, I pray for these many, many, many who have raised their hands and said that they're willing to do whatever you want them to do. God, I pray that you would amaze them, that you would astound them as you've astounded me in my life by using them in ways they never thought possible. I pray that you'd guide each one, each step of the way, help them to be faithful in this local church and to discern your will as they go forward. Father, I pray that even now in their hearts, each one would simply pray and say, Lord Jesus, take my life and use it for whatever you want to use it for. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Pastor?